So we continue to look at our responsibility as men, the fine print of our marriage covenant, as we look at actually being there as one of the things we committed to when we said I do. Actually being there. There is a growing trend, I don't know, you probably have noticed it, but in Lagos especially, you can't help but notice it, of husband or wife in pursuit of something where the husband is in city, one city, and the wife is in another city, not just for a week, not just for a month, but for long spells of time. And they do it, it's not just non-Christians who are doing it. Believers are doing it as well. In the church I attend is one of these highly mobile Lagosians. It's not only in Lagos. Yeah, so you find half the people, it's either the wife is here, the husband is in another city, sometimes outside the country, or the other way around. And then the children are in a third city because each one is busy, and so they have to send the children away to some boarding school. And what did we see in when we took our vow? What was one of the things we vowed to do? Cleave. Let's read Genesis 2:24. We vowed to cleave. No, I'm not using it. Yes, Philip, go ahead.
Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh.
Hold and fast, yeah? That's what we promised, right? That was what God designed marriage to be. Not marriage by correspondence. Not marriage by Zoom. Not marriage by Zoom. Not marriage by phone. What did you say, Philip?
E-marriage,
yeah? Oh, that's a new one. E-marriage. Yeah, that's what it looks like. And you ask the question, is it possible to cleave when you are not there? Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. Do you have your Bible with you? Want to read that for us? That 1 verse 6.
It says, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, and not be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is that don't go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee.
What did Moses tell the people? The promise from God.
Be strong and of good courage.
He will not fail you. He will not abandon you. And we saw in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives as what? Christ loved the church. Do you find comfort when you read this passage, this assurance from God that I will not leave you, I will not forsake you? Does it comfort you?
Yes.
What do you think about your wife when you... I mean, sometimes we think, they are happy because this other reason why I'm in another city enables me to provide those fancier stuff For a while it makes sense, but after a while it just loses its attraction. Because more than anything, nothing you buy, no toy, no gadget, no material provision that you give your wife will take your place. Unless that wife doesn't know what marriage is all about. A wife who wants to be married will never trade you for some toy, for some comfort, or whatever. And God knows, that's why He offers us Himself more than anything else. So He says to us, never will I leave you. I will personally go ahead of you. I will not fail you. I will not abandon you. So if you draw comfort from knowing that, comfort from God's abiding presence, imagine what it is like for your wife. We are familiar with Psalm 23, haven't we? What does it say? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Okay, let's stop there. We had said earlier that men are the spiritual leaders of their families, right? How can you lead them if you are not there? Remember what happened to Eve when the serpent came. Looked like Adam was busy somewhere, right? You know, it not being there may not necessarily be physical absence. You're distracted by too many things. My oldest niece is getting married. So my sister told me about it and asked me to have a chat with her. So on the phone, I was asking her, so what's the thing, what do you find attractive about this young man? And she went on, and one of the things she found attractive was that he's hardworking. So when I drew her attention that hardworking is a double-edged sword. It's a double-edged sword. Yeah, one day you start complaining and sending prayer requests that he's hardly home, he's too busy. And she paused for a long time to think about that. Because yes, as nice as being hardworking is, as attractive as being hardworking is to a woman, she would rather have you available. She would rather have you available. My wife, I don't know any insect that she's not afraid of. Cockroach, gecko, fly, she wouldn't, even if the fly was sitting there waiting for you to squash it, she wouldn't do it. So imagine that there's a cockroach and I'm not there to help her kill it. 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever it was that made me go away will soon lose its attraction. So, as husbands, we need to actually be there, because that's part of what the vow we took, to hold and to cherish, right? To hold and to cherish. Psalm 94, verse 14. These are not actually marriage verses, but you know, when we are looking at how Christ loved the church, which is what God says we should love our wives. So verses that give us a picture of the way Christ loves us, the way God loves us, and the verses we are looking at, and seeing how we can be the kind of husbands that are described in Ephesians 5:25.
The Lord will not reject his people. He will not abandon his special possession.
He will not abandon his special possession. I got a lesson on that one time. There's this big program we had planned for and prepared for and worked towards for several months. And then 2 days to the time, my wife took ill. So I kept praying that she would get much better before the day. And yes, she was improving, but so it was like, should I go, should I stay? Should I go, should I stay? The day came, she tried to encourage me to go. But I thought otherwise. So let me stay. It will be better to minister to my family than to go and minister to someone else. And I stayed. You know, 2 days later, she was like, the thank you that I got for staying helped me realize just how important my presence is to her. Yes, it was something important that I was going for. But the fact that I made that choice to make her and the family a priority spoke volumes to her. So often when your wife is saying, yeah, don't worry, go ahead, we'll be fine. It's not fine. And so God says he will not abandon his special possession. And our wives are our special possessions, are they not? Yeah, my wife is my special possession. I don't just say it, but that in my actions and decisions, I demonstrate that indeed, she is my special possession. Same thing with my children's, you know, schools these days, they do open day. So there was this particular one that I needed, that was coming up, and again there was, my wife had clearly told the children that she wasn't coming, and I had an engagement that was happening on the same day. So they, without asking me, just assumed that I won't be there. You could see the smile on their faces when I showed up at school. Ah, what happened? You didn't go again? I said, no, this one is more important than that one. There will always be, you can always reorganize, reschedule some things, but there are things you can't reschedule. Yeah. And some, you know, somebody talks about how help your family build good memories, right? Yeah. Help them build good memories. Those are some of the things that will hold them in the event that you finally check out. So let's not abandon our treasure, special possession. Let's show them that on our scale of things, they are up there on our priority list. When we have meetings, I tell my team, I would prefer that you left your phone alone, put it on silence, let it ring, but with one exception, if it's your wife, please answer the call. Even if she just wants to find out how you are, where you are. So those are some things that we can do to show our families that we put they rank high in on our scale of things, that they feature in our calendar. Isaiah 40, verse 1, verse 11.
tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs and the rams. He will carry them in his bosom, gently lead those that are young.
He will tend his flock. Think about it. Imagine your family as the flock God has made you a shepherd over. And you are not there. One day we traveled with a friend. A long trip of about 6 hours. And I arrived in his home. And to my surprise, this guy quickly dropped his bag, brushed aside his 3 children who were trying to, because we were gone for the better part of a week, changed his shoes and headed out. Where was he going to? His favorite club had a match that day. He was going to the viewing center to watch the match. You will say, yeah, when he returned, he will have plenty of time to tend his flock. Okay. He gathers a lamb in his arms, lambs. Remember Jacob when he was escaping from his father-in-law and when he heard that his brother was coming. And when the brother said, no, go ahead. You know, there are some young, I have to go at their pace. That's a statement of somebody who understands what it means to shepherd a flock. Because different ones are different stages with different issues. If you have school-age children, even if you don't know, you've forgotten primary school arithmetic, that you are there to just sit while they wrestle through it, speaks volumes to your children, isn't it? Yeah, speaks volume. That you are there to help them. You know, I tell people, there are some of the small things that you do with your children that leave indelible memories. You know, so you're playing football, somebody falls down, that you sit down and help clean the injury. Ah, man, they don't forget it. One of the fondest memories that I have of my dad is when we were little, right, some evenings, Port Harcourt was Garden City at the time. We'd go out to stroll along the streets that with trees lined both sides, and he would be telling you, okay, this is how to walk like a big man. And there are several of the nursery rhymes. I didn't go to nursery school, but I learned some nursery rhymes that my dad taught us at home. Because he was present. He would go out to walk and come back, and that was it. That as husbands, our family should be priority. And one the way we show it is to actually be there. To actually be there. To actually be there to help deal with some of the technical issues that will arise at home, because things will break down. It's true you won't be able to fix everything, if at all you can fix any, but that you are there to organize, to arrange for the mechanic to come and do it, or the electrician to come and do it. It's a big thing that your family will appreciate. We are familiar with Romans 8, right? Again, this is not a marriage verse or a parenting verse, but it's a verse about us and God. And we, as husbands, are to love our wives the way Christ loved the church. Romans 8, 35 to 39. Wanda, you want to read that? Sure. Me too, I have my Bible on the phone, so.
No, I was using my phone's records.
So. Oh, I see. Okay.
Romans
8:35-39.
Okay. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love?
Okay, stop. Just hold on there. So what's separating you from your family? There's who was it? Okay, I don't know how true it is. There's this man, what's that his name now? It's a WhatsApp post about him, how he was lamenting that all the big houses he built in different parts of River State. Now his children are all grown and no one is interested in any of those things because he sent them abroad to study. And you can imagine all the times away from home he spent trying to build all those things. Many years ago, our office was located near one huge house. If you saw that house, you would think it was a hotel. It was one man's house. He had envisioned that his children would grow up, and so he built a house in such a way that each child had a wing, yes, so that when they visited, no matter how large their family was, they could have enough space. So each child had a wing. And of course, the children grew up and no one was interested in the house, and he couldn't sell the house because who wants that kind of house? Okay, continue.
Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day, or being slaughtered like sheep.
Okay, just hold on. My translation says, shall trouble or hardship, continuing with the question, shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? There is this couples group I'm part of. So after one of our meetings, one of the guys posted on the WhatsApp thing that he feels he needs to spend more time with his family. And quickly, somebody else reminded him that he shouldn't forget that there are bills to be paid. So you look at this passage, shall bills or responsibilities or work or promotion, sorry, or ministry? Yes. Yes, ministry, yes. Separate you from your family. When you come home, do you realize that as you are closing from the office that there's another walk at home? That as you are driving home, you have prepared your mind to and not expect that everybody should understand that you have worked so hard and they should give you some space. So shall work or career separate you from your family? So we need to actually be there if we want to love our wives as Christ loved the church. There are many legitimate things that threaten that responsibility. And if we just flow, we'll find that the tide will take us further away. One of the challenges that my parents faced for the last for a good portion of my dad's career in the police, at some point he was being transferred all over the place here and there, so he thought it was wise to keep the family in Port Harcourt so that he alone, it was easier to move. But by the time he retired and came back home, he discovered that a wide gap has developed between he and his wife. But thank God he came to his senses, I think God used that stroke to bring him to his senses. After he recovered from that stroke, he really worked hard and served my mother to the best of his ability. And somehow that helped, but it was hard work. So when you think about it, often when the children are young, it keeps the mothers busy, and they somehow helps them survive your absence. Remember, if you're, if you're praying to be, to live long enough, one day those children will go leave home, and it will be back to how it started, just the two of you. Then you will recognize the damage that you, your busyness and your long absences have caused to your marriage. And you know how it is. If you don't start early, simple things become really difficult. Yeah. You imagine trying to learn to ride bicycle as an adult. Yeah. When you fall, you know it's not the fall. Won't be the same as that of a little boy, a 2-year-old learning to ride bicycle. So, one of the commitments we made when we said I do is to be present to our family, especially to our wives. And let's not be absentee husbands and fathers. May God bless teaching us of His word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.